The opinions expressed in the Spirited Sports Podcast are individual and are not necessarily representative of Spirit Live or Toronto Metropolitan University. Thank you for listening.
Welcome to Spirited Sports. Toldy Kakaletris, Nick DiCicco, Elias Drakos, and many more break down the biggest moments, game-changing plays, and the stories behind the athletes. Whether you live for the thrill of victory, the hustle of the underdog, or just love a great sports conversation, you're in the right place. This is Spirited Sports.
Hello everybody, how's it going, and welcome back to Spirited Sports. Thank you so much for joining us on another milestone episode here for Spirited Sports. We have officially reached episode number 75. Can you believe it already? 75 episodes through Spirited Sports, and there's a lot more episodes to come. But here is episode 75. We have a lot to talk about here today across a variety of different sports. Nick, Toldy, Elias, with you here today. We have a lot to talk about. Let's get it right underway. Let's start off in the National Hockey League.
The Washington Capitals have named Patrick Weller an assistant coach. Weller will primarily work with the Capitals defensemen. Weller joins Washington after spending the previous seven seasons as an assistant coach with the Capitals American Hockey League affiliate, the Hershey Bears, where he oversaw the team's defensemen. Hershey ranked in the top three in the AHL in goals against in four of his seven seasons, including league low averages in 2020-21, 2.33, and 2023-24, 2.10. With Hershey, Weller won two Calder Cups, 2023-2024, and two McGregor Kilpatrick trophies, 2020-21 and 2023-24, for best regular season record, coached current Capitals defensemen Martin Vehivaari and Dylan McIlrath, and worked alongside Capitals head coach Spencer Carberry, assistant coach Scott Allen, and video coach Emily Engel-Natsky. Prior to joining Hershey's staff, Weller served as an assistant coach with the Reading Royals of the ECHL during the 2017-18 season, helping guide the team to a 39-24-9-0 record and a playoff berth. The Carrot River, Saskatchewan native, also spent one season as an assistant coach with the ECHL's Cincinnati Cyclones. In 2016-17, Weller began his coaching career and finished his playing career as a player assistant coach in the ECHL with the Utah Grizzlies in 2014-15 and with the Alaska Aces in 2015-16. Weller, who was drafted by the Capitals in the third round, 77th overall of the 2002 NHL Draft, played 747 professional games over 12 seasons in the AHL and ECHL. Weller, a defenseman, played parts of six seasons with Hershey from 2008 to 2014, winning the Calder Cup with the Bears alongside John Carlson in 2010. Weller also won three Kelly Cup championships as a player with Alaska in 2006, the South Carolina Stingrays in 2009, and Reading in 2013.
LA Kings special advisor Marc Bergevin named Canada's GM for the Spengler Cup. He'll be joined by Associate General Manager Stacey Rust, who is set to make his international management debut. Mark and Stacey have extensive experience as executives in the NHL and AHL. They not only bring a wealth of front office experience, but many years of professional and international playing experience.
One final topic here for the NHL. Let's talk about a re-signing here that happened between the Ottawa Senators and their forward, Shane Pinto. A 4-year contract extension worth $30 million. Bit of surprise in this one, in this contract extension. The two sides had been kind of on a rocky road to reach this point in signing a 4-year extension with the Sens. But, you know, after a long standoff between the two sides, the deal ends up getting done. And the finish line is crossed here for a $30 million extension for Shane Pinto. A great deal for him, for the Sens, a big part of the Senators team. The 25-year-old forward could have been a restricted free agent after the end of the season. Those situations are squashed. So Shane Pinto, this is a great opportunity for him. He's second on the Senators with 9 goals and is third on the Sens with 15 points in 17 games this season. And, you know, for Pinto, he was drafted by the Sens, as I remember, back in 2019 in the second round, 32nd overall. And Pinto has 122 points, 60 goals, and 62 assists across 222 regular season games, and 2 points in 6 Stanley Cup playoff games, those 6 games coming by way of the Battle of Ontario last year we saw between the Maple Leafs and the Ottawa Senators. So great deal for both sides. Pinto showing some great international play as well, playing for the United States in IIHF World Championships in each of the last 2 years, including winning gold in 2025, and could potentially be part of the final 25-man roster for the Olympic Winter Games for the United States in Italy come February of 2026. Shane Pinto is going to be a big part of this Sens team, especially with Brady Tkachuk on the shelf for a little bit. So a good extension for the Sens, a good extension for Shane Pinto, and we'll see what this Sens team can do. Now let's take it from the ice to the basketball court. Let's talk about the NBA. And this news coming out, not really a big surprise for me, but the Dallas Mavericks firing GM Nico Harrison 9 months after the Luka Doncic trade. The trade did allow the Mavs to land the number one overall pick in Cooper Flagg with just a 1.8% chance of winning the draft lottery. A big, big win for the Dallas Mavericks, but a poor start to the season, all the backlash from the blockbuster trade, and it was time to make a move. You know, this is an opportunity to kind of shake things up. Harrison was in his fourth season as the GM, and had 3 trades that helped the Mavs on their way to a run in the Western Conference Finals back in 2022 in the playoffs, and an NBA Finals run 2 years later in 2024. But, you know, in basketball, things change very quickly, and this is what happened. We'll see what happens next for the Mavericks, but this kind of reshuffling in the management positions is a done deal. Now, a tough injury to discuss here in the NFL, with Jacksonville Jaguars' two-way superstar in Travis Hunter undergoing season-ending knee surgery, an unfortunate injury for him. And just when Travis Hunter was kind of getting into the groove a little bit, you know, his season is done after needing surgery to repair a lateral collateral ligament in his right knee. So his season is done. Now for the Jaguars, they've had a good season so far. You know, they're 6-4 on the year. They're second in the AFC South. Outside of the surprising 8-2 Indianapolis Colts, who have dominated play throughout the first 11 weeks or so of the NFL season, Jacksonville has kind of been up there with them as well. We've seen great glimpses of greatness from Trevor Lawrence and his QB abilities there especially in that win against the Chiefs a few weeks ago.
LA Clippers Bradley Beal to have season-ending surgery on a fractured hip. The LA Clippers guard Bradley Beal is unfortunately done for the season. Beal has a hip fracture and will undergo surgery next week, the team announced. He is expected to make a full recovery in 6 to 9 months. This is a very, very fluky injury, Lawrence Frank, president of basketball operations, said. The surgeon said it's almost like the equivalent of if you were in, like, a car accident. It's an atypical kind of basketball injury. It's more of an acute trauma-type injury. It is very unfortunate because, you know, the Clippers could have used Bradley Beal this season, and of course they've started off 4-9, a bit of a rough start for them, but this just gets even tougher with this news. And of course we hope, everyone at Spirited Sports hopes that Bradley Beal will make have a full and speedy recovery, and we hope to see him back on the court next year. Taking it from the court to the gridiron, the New York Giants fired coach Brian Daboll on Monday after the team blew another double-digit lead Sunday in Chicago. The past few seasons have been nothing short of disappointing, and we have not met our expectations for the franchise, Giants co-owner John Mara and Steve Tisch said Monday in a joint statement. We understand the frustrations of our fans, and we will work to deliver a significantly improved product. Assistant head coach and offensive coordinator Mike Kafka will serve as the Giants' interim coach. Kafka was a finalist for multiple head coaching jobs over the past 2 years. Joe Schoen will remain the team's GM and lead the search for the next head coach. Of course, you know, a tough move for Daboll, but it was pretty evident that something kind of had to give. I mean, the Giants are 2-9 to start the year, so pretty unfortunate that the coach was first to go in this instance.
For Travis Hunter, he was expected to be the number one receiver going forward because of the poor performance from Brian Thomas Jr. But, you know, this injury is really, really tough, and especially for a young player that's really coming into the league and really trying to get a handle on how things work, especially as a two-way player as well. But, you know, for his growth, this injury will probably stunt his growth a little bit.
Taking it from the gridiron to the diamond, the Blue Jays manager John Schneider finishes second in Manager of the Year voting. He narrowly missed out on the award after leading the team to Game 7 of the World Series, of course. It was pretty close. I mean, Steven Vogt, 88-74 record with the Guardians, 17 first-place votes, 8 second-place votes, and 4 third-place votes. And he had 113 total points in the voting. Schneider had 10 first-place votes, 11 second-place votes, 8 third-place votes, however, just 91 points total. And Dan Wilson came in third in voting with the Mariners with 50 total points. However, nonetheless, Schneider still had a great year. The Jays still had a great year. And it was very, very close, it seemed like, in the end with regards to voting.
Kyle Hendricks, the longtime Cubs starter who helped Chicago end its 108-year World Series drought and spent this past season pitching for his hometown Angels, has hung up his spikes. Hendricks, who will turn 36 on December 7th, is retiring after 12 big league seasons. Nicknamed the Professor as a Dartmouth grad who relied upon pitching with precision through his changeup-sinker combination in an age of high velocity, Hendricks recorded a 3.79 ERA over 307 career games, including 301 starts. He spent his first 11 seasons with Chicago and grew into a franchise great during the golden era of Cubs baseball. Over 11 seasons on the north side, Hendricks recorded a 3.68 ERA over 276 games, 270 starts. His 270 career starts is tied for ninth in franchise history and his 1,259 strikeouts rank seventh. The Cubs acquired Hendricks from the Rangers ahead of the 2012 trade deadline in a deal for starter Ryan Dempster. The right-hander made his MLB debut 2 years later on July 10th and went on to blossom into a key piece in Chicago's rotation. Hendricks recorded a 2.46 ERA over 13 starts in 2014 when he finished 7th in NL Rookie of the Year award voting. He took home the MLB ERA title in 2016 and also finished 3rd in NL Cy Young award voting after he posted a 2.13 ERA over 31 games, 30 starts in the regular season. The 2016 regular season was an appetizer for what Hendricks did in the postseason. During the Cubs' fateful playoff run, Hendricks delivered a pair of iconic performances. He outdueled Dodgers lefty Clayton Kershaw in Game 6 of the NL Championship Series by tossing 7 1/3 scoreless innings, paving the way for the Cubs to reach their first pennant since 1945. Hendricks then started Game 7 of the World Series when he was charged with 2 runs, 1 earned, over 4 2/3 innings. Chicago went on to clinch its first title since 1908. Hendricks had an up-and-down final season in Chicago in 2024, but he delivered one masterclass start in what proved to be his last appearance in the pinstripes. He tossed 7 1/3 scoreless innings versus the Reds on September 28. Before he became a free agent for the first time last offseason, Hendricks was the longest tenured Cub and the last player remaining in Chicago from its 2016 championship team. Hendricks went on to sign a 1-year deal with the Angels, and the Newport Beach, California native recorded a 4.76 ERA in 164 2/3 innings over 31 starts for the Halos in 2025.
Now, we just saw a Jays coaching staff departure previously, but we now see a former manager of the Blue Jays joining the LA Angels as their bench coach, and that is John Gibbons. We remember John Gibbons as a key figure for the Blue Jays as their skipper, and he had actually 2 stints with the Jays from 2004 to 2008, and then another stint from 2013 to 2018, and we remember a little bit of that last stint, just a little bit, as the Blue Jays were back-to-back ALCS teams that made it to the ALCS in 2015 and 2016. Remember, we all remember that era of the Blue Jays with Encarnacion, with Batista, with Stroman, with that great iteration of the Blue Jays. But now, the former skipper of the Jays is making his way to the LA Angels. The last 2 seasons were spent as the bench coach for the New York Mets, where he helped the team to the NLCS. So a little bit of good fortunes following John Gibbons there. And maybe he'll help the Angels get to where they want to be with their coaching staff, new coaching staff coming in, a new manager in Kurt Suzuki. And maybe we'll see the Angels in the playoffs sooner rather than later, given Gibbons' track record. But we'll have to wait and see.
London's Wembley Stadium to host the semis and final at the 2028 Euros. This will take place, these 2 semifinals, on Tuesday, July 4th and Wednesday, July 5th. And the final takes place on Sunday, July the 9th. How will this tournament work? Well, the format remains the same as the one used since the 2016 Euros. 24 teams enter the group stage with the 2 top the top two rather, in each of the six groups proceeding to the round of 16, along with the four best third place finishers. From then on, it's a straight knockout. The path to the final is predetermined, allowing the participating teams to anticipate their potential routes to the final. Most teams will play their three group stage games in three different stadiums. However, each of the six groups will also have a group head who will play three group matches at one or several pre-selected venues. In five groups, the group head's position is reserved for one of the four hosts and Northern Ireland if they are qualified at the time of the final draw. In the sixth group and any others, if the four hosts and or Northern Ireland have not qualified, the group head's position will be allocated by draw to a pot one team or teams. The group stage games go as follows. So in England, Manchester City Stadium gets a game, Wembley gets two. Northern Ireland, Tottenham Hotspur Stadium has a game, Villa Park has a game, and Wembley has another game. For the Republic of Ireland, Dublin Arena, three games. Scotland, Hampden Park, three games. And finally, Wales with three games at the National Stadium of Wales. Overall, I think English football fans are very excited that they get to watch entertaining soccer at Wembley Stadium.
So, we have some news about the FIFA World Cup. It's not about teams it's not officially directly about the teams. It's a little indirect of the teams competing for the 2026 World Cup happening in North America. But we have some ambassadors for Team Canada, and one of them is longtime Pittsburgh Penguins captain Sidney Crosby. And we know a lot about Sidney Crosby as a Canadian hockey superstar and leading the Pittsburgh Penguins to three Stanley Cups, and even his international play with Team Canada in the Olympics. We remember the 2010 Golden Goal, an iconic moment in Canadian sports history. And Sidney Crosby will help to raise the profile of the Canadian men's team for the World Cup. But it's a great opportunity to come together and showcase Canadian soccer culture and cultural leaders in sports to amplify the passion that Canada has for soccer as a whole. Great, great selections for ambassadors of the games ahead of the World Cup. A lot of great news to talk about across the sports world this week, and this was another great episode of Spirited Sports. So that'll do it for this episode, episode number 75 of Spirited Sports, another milestone that we are very happy to achieve, and more milestones to come. That'll do it for the end of this episode of Spirited Sports. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll catch you next time.